Boys, welcome back for another episode of Motorsport Republica with special guest, Moto3 star, Jacob Rulestone.
Yeah, good to be back. It's been quite a few months since the last one, so yeah, good to tie it in with being down here at the island.
Beautiful. Now, it will be a little bit of a quicker ep because I may have misread a message.
No, blame it on the Tech 3 media. Yeah.
They're on point.
We never make any mistakes here. No. So anyway, we've got some time. And it's good to see you, mate. You're in your Red Bull gas gear, looking flash. How's everything been, mate?
Yeah, it's been quite good. It was super good start to the season. A lot better than myself and the team and all the other sponsors and bosses expected, which was good. Was quite a tricky patch this last couple rounds, just with trying to fix the kind of make that next step, which I adapted to the bike and the tires quite quick. But then it was that little bit more that you need to do to be back fighting up the front. And yeah, it was a shame in Sachsen Ring when I think it was my best race to date. I wasn't having the best weekend, but just the Saturday morning did a good session with pace, and then the qualifying wasn't as good. But no, that was a real letdown to be honest. To have that, we'll call it a racing incident with Piqueras, and then. Yeah, that was a big shame. But then, just took all the positives, of course, and then into Silverstone after the summer break, and like to finish third day one, and then to kind of be top five all weekend. And then, if I could be honest, I made a stupid mistake in the first lap. I just didn't get the best of starts, and I just was rushing. I made that contact into the last corner with another rider, and then. Yeah, that kind of knocked my confidence a lot. And then having as well a difficult weekend in Austria, that didn't help. And then it kind of went a bit downhill from there. Pretty nasty crash in Aragon.
Yep.
I felt I brought the confidence up a bit again in Misano. And then the second one in Misano, that was kind of the tipping point a little bit. Two real nasty crashes on the Saturday, and then I've struggled a bit since then. But on the Saturday night in Japan, we had a huge kind of meeting with my crew chief and really all the boys in the team in my side, and we've been able to find some really positive things, which was good. I can say myself probably one of my best starts I have in the race on Sunday. And then just, all of us fighting for the one bit of time. Like I came out worse in that, knocked quite far back. But then, I felt quite good. I felt the issues that I'd been having were kind of solved, not completely. But it was enough to finish the race with a smile, to be honest, because it was, been a real kind of tricky time with kind of having five or six big crashes in the last few rounds, including Indonesia as well, which is a big one. But feel we're back on the right path, which is good. We are working really hard. We're not just kind of peaking and not doing anything else. I'm wanting to kind of prove it a bit more, because I'm wanting to prove it more than anyone, I think, because since I got signed for next year, it's it looks like I've kind of gone, I'm signed, but not at all.
No,
it's not in my nature to do that. It's made me hungrier than ever. So, gonna push and work even harder for these next rounds.
Yeah, nice, man. That's a good way to look at it. And it's all only on the up. Like you said, everything's starting to become a little bit more harmonious and feel better. So, hopefully this weekend we can see a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not. Yeah, of course I'm wanting to go out there and win every session, get pole and have a perfect weekend, but I know that's not very realistic, to be honest. I'll try, of course, but we're just keeping, although it's home GP, first all of the responsibilities that I have at the end of the day, I still have to race and just to continue working on where we left off.
Yeah, awesome.
It's interesting coming in from the start of the year and the commentators are always like they speak about you a little bit at the start of the year and then more and more and more and more throughout the races. So you're doing some amazing things, mate. You're there, thereabouts every race consistently. And I think as a rookie, that is an amazing achievement. So you've done really well. Very impressive. And I think Moto3 has been so much more exciting, hasn't it, boys?
Yeah, definitely.
Listening and watching Jacob this year, because we feel like we're riding on the bike with you. So
thank you. Yeah, it's good to... I think good to, as in like Junior GP and Red Bull Rookies Cup, they only stream the races, so it's difficult to see the riders all the time, and then for the commentators to get enough time to speak to it, because it's basically, I want to say, an hour, maybe a weekend with rookies with the two races, and then you don't get much time to talk about everyone. But I think I've been good enough to go, and I introduced to myself to all the commentators in Qatar, and
that's a good idea.
Bought them out because, at the end of the day, they kind of can control what they say.
Yeah, that's right.
And as well, if they're talking about you, then generally they'll put the camera on you. So, I figured to do that, and I've got really good relationship with all the commentators place where the BT Sport people and all of them. It's always good to stop and say hello to them, which is nice. And I think that's helped me a bit as well, to get, I want to say, a little bit more of the screen time, hopefully. My grandparents are starting to get a bit pissed off because they're not seeing me on the front group on the weekend, but my nan keeps on saying she's hoping she's needing better vision to look down to see me at the far back. So she's hoping to be more at the front, which I'm sure we all are, because a lot of people that Dad's seen as well, they were sort of saying that they would wish that they showed the second group, but it is what it is. But just have to get up there, which will be good.
It seemed like the first 10 rounds, like every single race, the second group, you're first. Like you were...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every single race. Like, and to be a rookie and doing that, I think, is incredible. So what surprised you the most with the bikes and the circuit and the whole kit and caboodle? What's sort of been a bit of an eye-opener for you?
To be fast on the first lap of the free practice on Friday morning. Like in Red Bull Rookies Cup, you kind of had the two sessions to work up to it, but and track time, you don't generally stop in the Rookies Cup and do a setup change. But for Junior GP, you have 2 days basically of free practice, 5 sessions, so it's quite enough time. But here it's kind of, all right, track walk, do a big revision Thursday night and the previous days before, and then jump on the bike and be 2 seconds within lap record on the first lap. So it is tricky, of course, but like for this weekend, I'm treating it as a new track. Last time I was here was middle of 2000 or the start of 2019, I want to say.
Yep. So,
oh, wow. It's a long time ago.
Quite some time. I was meant to come down for a track day at the start of the year, but they resurfaced it, so it got changed. But I'm excited for it. At least I know where the turns are. That's about it.
Right.
But that for sure is the trickiest thing to do. And I feel with this riding and the aggression, and of course it's a little bit more aggressive. They ride closer, but all of that's normal kind of situation. It's just that's it to get up to speed so quick and for the pace to be so high. That's something that I find not only myself but a lot of people struggle with.
Yep.
But I feel like I'm getting there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We can see that from the outside. The adaptation, like Tom said as well, from the start has been awesome.
Yeah, it's hasn't been too bad.
How have you found the travel and stuff? Has it been like really taxing for you living out of a suitcase for a lot of the year, or you've adapted to it well?
Yeah, it's generally quite good. We've only had really this period for the flyaways. It's probably been the most difficult, but because me living in Spain, it's a good kind of headquarters to say, because a lot of people travel from there, so it does make it a lot easier. And being near Barcelona, that's where I fly out of, it's quite a quite a generic place to fly in and out of to the places that we go. But no, I find it quite good. It's generally a week on and a week off, so it's good to be able to go home. But we had Aragon to Misano back to back, and that was fine because I could go home. We just drove to Aragon, but then Assen and Sachsenring were back to back. But I find it quite fine to leave out of the suitcase. Maybe not the suitcase weight is probably the most tricky part, but and traveling with mum as well, it's not very easy just to throw a pair of shoes in as well. I don't mind it. I've really enjoyed the places we've gone. America I enjoyed a lot. That was really, I find the flyaways are, everyone's a lot more relaxed, where everyone tries to finish up as quick as they can and then kind of leave the track and enjoy the towns and enjoy the kind of life outside the track, where in Europe where all the mechanics are basically staying in the truck, so they've got no real rush, but like they still want to finish up. But like for here, it's like for Indonesia and like all of them, it's awesome to be able to spend that kind of quality time with the team as well, because everyone's generally staying at the same place. Only really here we're a little bit spread apart because of the houses, but other than that, it's been awesome to kind of travel and see new places. And the like for Indonesia, for example, we didn't go to Jakarta. It's the little island, so it's amazing to see the places that we get to, and I think that was the most wild place to date. How it is, just with getting to the track, and it's amazing. You don't see, I don't think I saw a person not smiling the whole time in there, and it was an eye-opening experience for sure. But no, those 2 days that we had, I think we arrived the Monday night, and then kind of the Tuesday and Wednesday, it was really nice to kind of relax. I don't think I've felt that kind of weight off my shoulders in quite a few years, so it was good to have that day at least. And
that's
then
awesome.
And then like Japan, I don't think anyone can not like that place. It's amazing. And and then as well to be home, I was able to spend a week at home, so it was good as well, kind of feeling relaxed with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder, we are proudly supported by the great team down at Moto Heaven. They are absolutely unbelievable to deal with. And if I were you guys, I'd definitely head over to their website.
Yes, you never pay full recommended retail price at Moto Heaven, and free delivery for any order over $100.
100%. And they've got the best, most usable website in the whole motorcycle industry. Dare I say the world. They've got parts finders. You can chuck in any bike you want. If it's a gold KX250 or an R1, you can find anything you want. Helmets, they've got everything. Head to motoheaven.com.au where you will get everything that you need. That's a guarantee.
Do it. That's awesome. I heard the after party in Indonesia was pretty wild. Did you end up going to the place where everyone went to, or heard some pretty crazy stories?
May have.
No comment. Good answer. Comment. A few Red Bulls done that, I reckon. What?
No, it's awesome. I think the media puts a lot of... I'm not too sure the word, but like pressure that these riders have to be, or these sports people have to be focused 100%. But
yeah,
I think it's nice. I don't drink maybe once for
Christmas or something.
Important time.
Yeah.
But no, not like, I think it's, I know that there was the video of the GP riders going around, but I don't think that there's really nothing wrong with it in my opinion.
No, not
because
at all.
It's always just won the race, so he's celebrating, and it's been like it had been tricky time. Like the only GP party that there really is I know that there's America Jerez in Indonesia, but other than that, there's nothing really. So it's, you know, like three Sunday nights of the year, it's not a big deal.
The hotel made up at the corner of Phillip Island Sunday night goes pretty well. We're expecting to be there,
but
my shout, of course. as always.
We'll be attending then, or Tech 3 now.
Yes, here we but, go. I'll be hosting.
But I'm seeing.
But no, like
you got to let your hair down though.
Of course, like we're in this tight bubble. Yeah.
And we talked about this last few weeks. The boys, like, the personalities have somehow gone out of the sport to a certain extent, especially in premier class, because no one can do anything.
No.
You can't say anything. You can't do anything. If you do something wrong, it's the front page news. And, like, you need to bring that back. I mean, we were talking about the other day, we were watching Hitting the Apex back, and this is like Lorenzo, Simoncelli, like – Pedrosa hated Simoncelli. Simoncelli and Rossi were friends. Rossi hated Stoner. Stoner hated Rossi. Yeah. Like, you don't get that now because everyone's
too nice.
Yeah, everyone's and too nice.
That's what Pedro's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah, he's finally shaking it up a bit. Like, it's so exciting.
Because, like, I think I can say it. I'm in it. It got boring MotoGP, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's I find it more exciting Moto2 and Moto3 because it's
100%.
We're young guys. Egos through the roof, so everyone's wanting to beat everyone, and I think it's good that he's doing a little bit of that, kind of ruffling the feathers a little bit, and of course, like in my class, I can say that we all basically hate each other, but you know we don't go over that line, which no one does, but you know that's why I think like Supercross in America is so exciting because it's. You know the people that hate each other, and they'll show it. They'll show it with a certain pass in a corner, where I think it's a good aspect that has for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
How are you going with the like? I find, and we all do. We all always talk about this, how aggressive Moto3 is, and like how cutthroat it is. And we spoke about Joel Kelso, and like he said to us that if he raced. The way they bought, if he raced in Australia, he'd be the most aggressive rider.
Yeah.
And those like little Spanish kids just chuck it up the inside. There's no like Becerras, for instance. You know, we've had that incident with him.
David Alonso.
They just don't. You can see like a good example is Pecco. If he gets like a rider that shoves it up the inside, you can see the body language. He doesn't react.
Yeah.
Like that's a good point. Yeah. If you see basically anyone else, a lot of the Spanish Becerras is. Super hard to be able to kind of do a move like that because they don't. I don't think like you see everyone they do that little bobble.
Yeah,
but you know it's something that they do from a young age. I was training with Acosta and with one kind of riding school that they do down in Murcia in the south of Spain at the start of the year, and it was it was for the day that it was him and I training and. When you're doing it like that, then you don't kind of get you kind of anticipate it, and that's when you don't react like that.
Yeah.
That thing. But I'm running around trying not to get passed by 6-year-olds on mini motos. Like that's I've not quite a. It's a little bit embarrassing to say, but it is what it is. Like even you can see like a lot of the Spanish riders as well. They're battling with a lot of the younger kids because they're. They're just ruthless, and you know the little kids on the mini motors watching them go around. My mum was just amazed by. It's basically like footy training or soccer training that we have here every Thursday or something like this. They go and do that, and I think it's the same. Like when you're tackling in football, you kind of get tough and like you have that confidence in yourself where that's the exact same on the bike. It's the same with the passes that they do and they just get brought up doing it it is something that we struggle with here in Australia. They're doing it good with the Ovale series that they're doing, but it's that's kind of the only, we don't really have any mini moto, which I think is it. I never did it. I rode once and I found it impossible, but it's something that would be awesome to bring over here because it's that's where they kind of get the aggressiveness from and all of those riding techniques.
Yeah, it's just a different a style, isn't it? Like we spoke about this last time we're on the pod, and you know you can go to a circuit in Spain and just pay an entry fee and start riding your bike. Like there's so many rules and regulations, and you know it's raining half the time in Melbourne, and
they might can it because it's raining as well.
They might can it.
Yeah, you know. Like it's. I do a lot of motocross and off-road training as well. And if it's raining, then we go to there. But it's the same thing. It is quite similar to the here with that aspect. I think that's something that Aussies kind of beat the Europeans in is the not the will to ride, but it doesn't matter what condition. Like
for
a track day in or like a motocross track, as I was saying, because it's raining, we'll go there. I'd probably be the only one there.
Yeah, wow.
And like south of Spain, for those schools that they have, there's a bunch of schools, and sometimes there might be one or two riders that attend in the rain, and I think that's something that we kind of beat them in that aspect, I can say, and kind of like the pure grit that we have. You know, it's something that all us Aussies work hard for on any, or just in general in I think the Aussie life that it's like that. It's you know, if we fall off, we get straight back up, and you know, I won't say that, but
off camera. You can tell us off camera.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it's like even for like the rugby and football aspect, you know, I think we're built tough from a young age.
Yeah, you listen to soccer players get touched and it's straight down, and you know, probably similar to a Spanish, you know, motorbike rider. I'll fill in the gaps.
Like I saw a clip from the International Six Day in Europe that literally yesterday, and it's this Aussie guy having this huge off, run straight to his bike and jumps back on. The bike doesn't start, but he's trying to fix it. And I think that's just what we're brought up to do, basically. Yeah.
The Spanish will be searching for the mechanic and then yelling at him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's always someone else's fault. It's not theirs. But I suppose not only that, you're fighting the position to get there in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. And we're brought up to kind of not take shit from anyone.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
We're there to do a job, and we won't let anything get in the way, basically.
That's a good point you make. And you see Aussies go into the premier class or the superbikes, and I'm not going to say all of them, but a lot of the names you see ended up going into the premier class and being successful in their own right, or having really long careers.
You'd almost say 90% of them.
You'd almost say 90% of them, where obviously a lot of Spanish or Italians, because it's flooded.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to get weeded out as well, where all the weeding is done in Australia or maybe the lower levels of Europe. So, you know, once you're into the world championships, you know, that's where they'll stay or they'll fight. They're the toughest ones there.
Yeah, like Jack has been in the paddock for quite some time, and he hasn't stopped fighting. I chatted with him in Austria about it's good kind of being in the Red Bull KTM family with him you know, we see each other at dinner, breakfast, all the time, and it's kind of out of the big hospitality that Red Bull have. It's kind of like you zone out, and you can kind of, it's kind of like when you walk through the doors, it's you're not at the racetrack, which is good. But no, just speaking with Jack, and yeah, like as he said, he's always worked hard, and the opportunity wasn't looking real good, and but no, just for as he is, for being Jack Miller and always nice, always smiling, I think that's, and the kind of grit that he showed has helped him to get that ride, as well as him being a GP race winner. But but no, it's everyone's fast in Spain. That's something that's difficult as well. And like with my teammate, he's won everything he's been in, so. He's, you know, from mini moto to now, it's something that like we're not able to do, because you win the championships here, they mean kind of to the world stage, it's nothing.
Yeah, it's like, not much.
But for their championships, they're the championships that are really like the pre moto 3, moto 4, everything. They're the ones that are we're going to. So to be dominating in that does mean that you're probably one of the fastest in the world at your age.
Yeah.
What are your what's the circuit that surprised you this year? Has there been a circuit you go on to and you're like, oh fuck, this is a bit shitter than I thought it was, or a circuit you've gone to and I'm like, oh my god, this thing's amazing to ride?
I think all of them. I'm someone that doesn't really have a favorite track or not a favorite track. I have tracks that I don't like as much, but It was
guitar,
good.
Guitar.
No, guitar I like, to be honest.
Ooh, Daniel, one for you.
Yeah, thank you.
You got some good praise when you were at guitar at the start of the year. I think it was the first round, wasn't it? I remember
I was able to straight into Q2 and do, I think, 10th a good result. It was something that I've gone to basically all the GP tracks through the Asia Talent Cup.
Yeah.
And Red Bull Rookies Cup and Junior GP. So it's something that has helped me as well. For maybe the Asian tracks, I didn't really remember Motegi as much.
Mm.
It's a completely different bike. Like we're going five more seconds faster, which is a huge amount in motorsport. So I love Texas, to be honest. That was I'm quite a fast, flowy rider, more than the kind of tight shooting
stop
corners.
Starts. Yeah. Yeah.
And the first lap, I was like, you do get a bit lost in that track. That and Silverstone were the.
It's a long lap, Texas. It's 2 minutes and 20
seconds.
Yeah, you
can almost have a nap halfway through. Yeah. So long.
But you look at Saxon Ring and like it'd be half the size, wouldn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's that's what was good about those Silverstone and Texas is that they're so big and so difficult to learn. Texas Silverstone, I think, is one of the most difficult tracks to learn to get fine markers. I felt lost on the first lap, to be honest. And we planned. I had like a little thing with Fabio after the day. To my sister was a big fan. It was and it was her birthday. So I
that's nice.
We were able to arrange, and he took us to the motorhome to get a photo with them. But
no, even you're just still fans at the end of the day. I love that. It's so good.
Well, speaking to him, it's a truck that is quite flat, so you have no references.
Yeah.
And I think it's Maggots and Beckett's that last sector.
Yeah.
The first time I went in there, I nearly cut the corner on the grass because it's just so blind. And that's why Texas was a little bit easy for me to learn because it's got a lot of elevation. But Texas, I want to say, is probably my new favorite track.
That's funny. That's
amazing.
We spoke to Senna Aegis, Roto 2 rider, and he hates Qatar. And
Texas.
And he hates Texas.
Like the bumps up in through turn or sector one.
But you know what? It's the challenge, I suppose, isn't it? And Texas to me is it's just such a long track.
I think it's a scary track. Like it is. As he says, there's all the blind corners, and then that back straight. And then if you're on a pack of 20 riders, like you probably experience going into that 90-degree left hander.
That's pretty wild.
It's wild.
It's like three tracks in one, Texas.
And it's wide. And I saw the Moto3 guys. You're probably leading the charge. And there was eight abreast going into the corner. You're just like, how are you all going to make it in?
It's crazy. It is a bumpy track for sure with the cars. But I think it's such a wide track, which helps it for being so big and for so long. I think it's got everything. I think it's one of the only tracks that have kind of every possible corner or possible, braking situation or elevation on a racetrack. Maybe it just doesn't have a corkscrew like in Aragon or Laguna Seca. Yeah. But other than that, I think it's got everything, which is awesome. And I'm surprised Senna didn't like it because I thought maybe the flat track boys would have liked a little bit more. But he loves such. I think it's Portimao.
I think I remember you saying
that's like a crazy. That's a crazy track.
Yeah,
that's a crazy track.
And they're like, first time I went there in 2020 with European Talent Cup, I crashed on my first ever lap from oil. So I think that's played around with the mind a little bit as well. But that's a track that I've come to like as well. So yeah, I think at the end of the day, you can't have a favorite.
Yeah.
Or you can't have a tracks you love, tracks you hate because you still have to go and race them on Sunday.
I reckon you're gonna have a different answer Sunday afternoon because you're gonna have an awesome weekend. You're gonna race that beautiful track down about.
Well, of course, Phillip Island
5 kilometers that way, and you're gonna go, boys. I've changed my mind. Phillip Island number one.
He'll be saying that when we're at the hotel on Sunday night, spraying some champagne.
No, I'll spray Red Bull.
Hopefully, that's the go.
Red Bull and just a little tiny bit of vodka to play.
But I can't really say anything about this track because I've raced here on a.
It's been so long.
I've raced here on an 80cc, I could say it was boring. It flat stick turn one. I was
going to say you'd be pinned everywhere.
Yeah. So
so there's no real home ground advantage this week for you. You're gonna
no. My teammate and I have ridden here the same amount of time. he's been here last year and me not. But no, I think if it was Eastern Creek, then it'd be a little bit different.
Yeah, true.
But no, good I'm track excited that,
just
for
quietly.
It.
Quietly.
Yeah, Eastern Creek. Yeah, underrated. Underrated.
Was it at the start of the year? It's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think if they could get it to GP spec, then I think it would be an awesome place to race, because it's like it's close to the city. Yeah. It's a nice environment, and but no, I just don't think it's up to the right standards with the safety wise, with the paddock and everything. I think it's amazing.
Mm. Yeah, the facilities
are really, really good.
Would be better, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I know that they're trying to do stuff to the new Wakefield One Raceway, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they got on that last round.
Yeah. And they're building a new track near the airport, I believe, down in Melbourne. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but, so there's plans that have been granted for that, and there's a lot of talk that it could be the new Grand Prix circuit. So,
I knew the only issue with the bend is how far it is away, to be honest.
Yeah.
That is the facilities.
It's in South Australia as well.
At the track. Yeah.
Doesn't have the
Talon Bend in the town, there isn't really anything more. Yeah. So I just don't think it would logistically work. But
Philip Bolin needs this race though.
100%. Yeah,
like they don't have V8 supercars anymore that comes out. They really need this race for all those businesses to survive as well.
It's all right.
There's a lot of places that would rely on that as well. So I think they'll do everything possible to keep it here. But and we love coming down here, obviously. It's so good for us.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
You know, it's 2 hours from home and my parents live here. So
Everyone loves it.
Everyone loves it.
It's just the weather's the most worst thing. But
it's interesting.
If we could take this track and move it to somewhere nicer, then everyone would do it.
Sunshine Coast.
But
Wollongong?
Even better.
I wouldn't be mad at that. I can stay at Nonna's house.
Yeah. But no, I think it's good. They're starting to get some more tracks in Australia, which is good. And I think as well at Maroolan, they just have the small track there. But I think the same guy owns Wakefield Park. So I knew that he was talking end of 22 that he was wanting to build like a 7K track, so a proper GP 7K. Spec.
Wow, that's cool. So that's a long track.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be like the bend. They would have the 7K, but then maybe like the 5K race circuit. But
yeah,
I think it's good. It's a shame that the in Nowra, which is near Wollongong, they had a full motorsport complex there, but then because of a plant, they weren't able to do it, something like this. So that was a big shame.
Typical.
Well, okay, I'll give you an idea. Near my house in Diamond Creek up in Melbourne, they were going to duplicate the track so it'd be so much easier for the trains to come through, yeah? They couldn't put the duplicate tracks because they found an endangered butterfly next to the track, so they couldn't excavate it, and the whole plans went to the shit. That's the lefties for you, though, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it is.
Greenies,
that's the greenies. Yeah, bloody hell. So what was it? So what was it again, Jacob? Sorry, they couldn't build it.
I think it was a bush or something. I'm not too sure. But no, it was a shame. My grandfather who races like mini coupes. He was pushing for it a lot. And my mum down at that time, we owned a chicken restaurant, like a fast food restaurant, but it was just like a normal sit down restaurant, and we were pushing for it a lot because, you know, it was an awesome area, and it was a huge place that they had. I think it was like a flat track, a car speedway, two or three motocross tracks, and I think a kart track and a big track. So it was going to be a proper motorsport complex. Yeah. But no, that's a shame.
Really, big shame. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a cool town, and it's a shame, which is what it is, but. Mm. No, hopefully we can get some more tracks and kart tracks up and running.
So, Jacob, when you're not riding motorcycles, not training, what do you do to de-stress? What are you doing different? Are you playing video games? Are you just watching movies? What's the do over there when you're...
In Spain, it's generally... I find it to work on my training bikes is something that I enjoy.
Yep.
Even if it's... me doing a 20-minute job and turning it into 2 hours because I tinker around and do other things. That's just something that I enjoy.
Nice.
But no, like whenever I'm back here, there's the availability to go like properly like mountain biking with a bunch of mates. Like I just like bikes in general and sport. Or even if it's water sports in summer, going on mates' boats and on yep. the jet skis, it's something that I love. It's I kind of grew up around the ocean and kind of in a valley, so countryside and ocean side. So I was lucky to grow up there, and it's something that I love. Anything. I used to like playing video games with some mates, but I get a little bit bored now when I do it. I have a little steering wheel simulator thing that I get an hour or two enjoyment. But no, it's just anything with bikes, to be honest. I find it difficult to kind of zone out.
Yeah.
That's why in Indonesia, like I said before, is something that I really felt relaxed because I couldn't do anything really. I couldn't do anything with bikes. So no, I think it's in my blood, bikes and two wheels and four wheels as well. It's just anything that I can get my hands on too is awesome.
Addicted. I like it. That's cool. And you keep up with the motocross, supercross stuff? You're obviously into all that stuff?
Yeah, quite a bit. I'm originally a motocross rider, so it's in my blood as well, I think, anything. And I do it a lot for training. So I do probably more flat track because of just the risk. And then
what do you ride for training?
Just a Gas 250 nice. For the moment. Next year I just ride the same for motocross and flat track, but it's a bit difficult to get a good flat track set up bike and motocross. But next year I'm able to have the range and the availability with the bike. So I love motocross in winter and the summer break. I think it's the most physical training that we can do besides riding a proper race bike. So I love it. I'm always watching the supercross and motocross races in America, and it's not a bad time for it to be in when I'm in Spain. So no, it's something that mum and I sometimes sit down and watch it, and it's good.
Watch the Lawrence boys.
They're amazing. I find them really, really cool. I've never met them, which is a shame, but I'm sure something will happen because being with Red Bull together and as well with 100% the Gold and true. Glasses
yeah,
company.
Yeah.
Mark, the guy from there, is for sure would be interested in trying something. I think next year between Argentina and Texas race, there's a Supercross in New York or somewhere. So I'll for sure... Beg mum to come with me and to fly out there and to experience that.
I'm sure Red Bull will be able to hook you up with that one.
We'll try. I'm quite low on the Red Bull ladder at the moment.
We'll get you up there.
With 100%, they've already said that they can get me some passes or tickets. So that'll be amazing.
Sweet. Yeah. Have you been to the Performance Center?
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, it seems wild.
It's a place that when you're there, you want to train and you want to kind of destroy your body in that sense. It's an amazing place, and it's very discreet. Like you could drive past it and there's not a single logo. There's a tiny little plaque. There's a tiny little plaque at the front door that says Athlete Performance Center. That's it. And then when you enter, it's like heaven. It's amazing. The facilities that they have there is incredible. And been there twice already this year at the start of the season, and then after Austria when we had a little break, just drove down there. So it's amazing facilities and the opportunities that they give us athletes. As well to go and visit the headquarters, I was able to do that in the start of the season. That's like nothing as well. Like it's very low key. If you drive past it, you would have no clue that it's there.
Yeah, wow.
I think that's something that I love about Red Bull. It's very, it's very focused on the athletes, and it's focused on the events that they do and selling the can, because that's what they do at the end of the day.
That's right.
They don't really make money off us riders. At the end of the day, it's selling this can. But it's amazing facility that they have there. It's kind of they run the towns and everything. The APCs is like 20 minutes from the from the headquarters. So when you're there, you can join both things together to visit. But no, I'm very, very proud to be a part of this company because it's you know, it's something that I dreamt of as a kid.
Yeah,
it's got to be the number one sponsor in the world
by far. It's who you'd want to beat with, absolutely.
To wake up and to put a hat on that says Red Bull or put a helmet on when training, it brings a smile to my face for sure.
It's wicked, man.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a brand that wants the top athletes on.
Yep.
You know, just because I've signed with them for this year, for next year, doesn't mean it's secure in the future. So it's they're like a yearly contract base, basically. Yep. So all the time you have to be performing well, which is great.
Yeah, no, it's wicked, man. If you keep doing what you're doing, I'm sure we'll see you in those Red Bull colours for a long time to come.
It's such a cool brand because you think of Red Bull now and they've positioned themselves where you think of almost elite athletes before you almost do the drink.
Oh, you know? 1,000,000%.
Crazy. You know, it's crazy how they've done that.
The best marketing in the world, I mean, like, for sure. What they do is incredible. And you're right, it's one product. They sell one product.
They sell a can. The hats that we wear, they don't get money off that.
No.
They're super strict on that or the uniform. Like my parents can't even wear a hat or a t-shirt. Wow.
It's amazing, isn't it?
But that's what I like. It's kind of like the exclusiveness.
Yeah, you're in the clique.
Yeah. It's good for that sense. And, like, you know, you think of any sport that Red Bull isn't in and it's incredible. Like they do everything. Yeah. They I think there's even ping pong athletes at a Red Bull, like everything that you can imagine. I think there's 800 athletes at the moment, so but you think about all the years that they've been around and it's for sure mountain biking and that they've been and skating and everything like that, they've been here for years. But I think every sport that you can think of, there'll be a Red Bull.
God, they've got their own bloody Formula One team. It's just a pinnacle, isn't
it? And that's the thing with Formula One. Like, they've got their own team and they're realistically their only privateer team that has, like, won the championship in a long time. So then they're dominating. Not so much this year, but we'll see what happens. But,
yeah.
But, it's crazy. So what are you looking forward to this weekend? Getting out of practice one? Number one on the timesheets, long run.
Yeah.
Tires are flawless.
Fast flowy track, it'll suit you well.
Yeah. It's I've got no expectation for this weekend for sure. Mm. It's something that I'm just gonna do as I've been doing. I think the best thing is to perform for your country in front of your country at your country. Like, it's at a world stage to have the GP World Championship here is awesome. And for my family and friends that have never seen me race in person, really, for them to visit and to see is will be good as well. I don't think I'll stop smiling the whole weekend, to be honest. It's
wicked.
Yeah, just hope the weather plays out in a good way.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it'll be beautiful.
Friday I think Saturday morning it was meant to be 4 degrees on track that my crew chief said, so...
We're praying it holds out.
Yeah. Did you hold your breath over the bridge?
No, didn't know that was a thing.
That's a trick. You better go back over the Zabo.
But I've got the ride tomorrow morning.
Make sure you hold your breath.
That's a Republica trademark.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that as well.
Yeah, it'd be cool. That's really cool.
I think they've got 500 riders. That's amazing for all the fans to be here.
What are you riding?
A gas. I think it's the 700 supermoto that they have.
That's sick.
So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. Come over the bridge on one wheel.
even Senna asked if we could. He asked Mike Webb. We're doing a spokes thing. Yep. I think it was this morning or this afternoon, and asked if what it's like to do a burnout, and it's 10K fined apparently if you do a burnout. Hopefully
we'll put it, I don't know about that, Tom.
We can put a bit of wood down and do it. I think it'll be awesome. I don't think it's something that they can control everyone's enjoying, I don't think they're doing anything wrong. We're just enjoying. We're having fun. An awesome time, and bringing more Aussie viewers to the sport.
That's
it. Yeah. And to have like 500 people on bikes is a lot of people.
Yep.
To kind of lead the parade with Mick and Jack, and it's amazing. And yeah, I've got a special helmet as well this weekend.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. So we've got some special helmet and gloves and all that.
Care to share?
Only helmet. I'd completely forgot about boots and gloves when I could have done. I could have easily done the boots, which I was a bit annoyed about. But no, I've got a really cool collaboration, I feel, with my helmet. Kind of gave it away already, but no, it's
world exclusive here.
Yeah, exactly.
You've heard it here first.
But no, I think it's got good meaning.
Yeah, sweet.
It's was good. Was it challenging to fit it in because Red Bull has, you know, their strict colours and their strict appearance, mm-hmm. which I like that they want to keep everything the same. But no, we've done the best I can with the painter and Red Bull and NHK and my helmet company, and it's special for me. I'm a bit annoyed that I only thought about the boots now because that's something that I'm going to regret. But no, I'll jump on straight with the A-Star people and see what they can do. But but I'm excited to do it
because
for it to be my first TP in home. It's it's going to be good.
You're going to roll that out on the Friday?
No, Sunday it'll be.
Oh, so a lot of anticipation.
Yeah, it's. I think I'll do Saturday. Maybe I'll pull it out for qualifying. But no, it was only two helmets that we could paint. Okay. So yeah, it's better to keep it for maybe a special. No, I think I'll just do it for the race, to be honest.
Yeah, nice.
I think it'll be good. It's good media thing tomorrow with them as well. So yeah, should be good.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait to see it. That's very exciting.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Jacob, it's our time's
good
up.
Good timing.
Thank you.
He's a very busy man.
He's a busy man.
For us now. He's too busy.
I do want to say it's awesome to see smiling. It's so apparent that we've obviously spoken to yourself and Senna how good it is to be back in Australia.
It's good.
It's a really
patriotic
thing.
Patriotic.
Really, it's really cool to see. It's and mate, we wish you the absolute best of luck of the weekend, rest of the year, next year. I'm sure we'll keep in touch.
You'll hear us from the grandstands.
It's good to see. We've got some merchandise and stuff around. I think it's available in the Island Tire.
Oh, beautiful
place.
Shout out. Go and get a curry. Yeah, get on it, guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go get a curry and or a Thai meal and JR12 merch as well.
Yeah, that's it.
So no, it's awesome. We've got quite a lot of people to wanted the merch and some marshals as well who've wanted flags. So.
Oh, sick. Oh,
how good.
So we've got some flags flying around. So I think that's something very special for me to go around the track and see. So no, I'm excited for it, and as I said before, I don't think I've stopped smiling.
We're so happy for you. We're so excited. We'll see you in the back of the paddock as well.
Yep. Yes.
We'll see you in the pits. We'll want to sit on your bike and
yeah, don't forget about us.
Your boys can show me how it's done.
Yeah.
Tommy will.
Thank you. Someone's finally said this.
See you, mate. See you guys.
Cheers, man.